Today, the second time Jesus says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God." And the choir has just invited us, in the words of Jesus, to come and see. John the Baptist had a group of followers, people that he had gathered in his ministry, and he is passing the baton. He has invited them to follow him because someday he was going to run into Jesus and he would want them to change their views and begin to follow Jesus instead of himself. John the Baptist is making sure that his disciples see Jesus clearly. Behold, take a good look. This one is the Lamb of God. He's not like the others. You have people in your life that follow you, that trust you, that lean into your words and your life. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a believer in the living God. Like John the Baptist, you have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility, to get them to turn and see Jesus clearly. If nothing else that we do in life in terms of mentoring or coaching or teaching, it is to take someone's hand and pull them along to the place where they can take a good look at the living God and say, "I have followed him. I would like you to follow him too." And so John does this. People listen to you. People respect what you have to say. People have developed trust in who you are and what you represent. Use your influence. Use your position. Use your power. Use your presence to call their attention to Jesus. I know that's a difficult thing to do in many places today in this society because we are a society that does not want to split people according to sectarian principles and practices. But the gospel is pretty clear. If we have people who trust us, let us show them Jesus. My job today is not to get you to pay more attention to me. My job today is to get you to pay more attention to Jesus. When you have a chance, tell your faith story. I know people who believe that they have nothing to say about their spiritual life. But when I hear their faith story, I'm amazed at what God has done in their life. And if they just told their story, people would see Jesus. Invite people to your home and have them be with you so they can see in your house, in your family, how you treat your spouse and your friends. In your hospitality, they can see Jesus. Host a neighborhood Bible study. Invite a few people over and open the gospel and let them read together and discover who Jesus is. I do not believe that people are not interested today. I believe that people are deeply interested today. They're just waiting for someone to invite them to come and see. Invite a person to church with you. Come and worship with me. Be in the presence of the living God. Come and see. Use every ounce of energy and pattern of life that you have to invite people to see Jesus. Now, this does not mean you are perfect. People are not looking for perfection today. They are looking for authenticity. They are looking for a real person who is flawed, who has limits, who deals with doubts. And that person says, "Come and see." Real flesh and blood. And when you invite a person to follow Jesus and they begin to follow Jesus, and some of you are hungry to follow Jesus today, Jesus will see you coming. Jesus will not ignore you. God will not pretend that you are not there. The one thing that God is to, beyond all other things, is that God is looking for you. Jesus comes to seek and to save people that are hunting for God. Jesus is the one who is turning and looking for you to come. We each seek somebody or something. You may today be looking for a mentor, a teacher, someone who can give you guidance or direction, a coach, a friend, a parent that you never had. You may be seeking power or position. You may be seeking money or sex or power. You may be seeking counsel, advice. You may be seeking relief because of pain. You may be seeking sanctuary because life is just hectic and tough. Each one of us today are seeking something and someone. Behind that seeking, beside that search, underneath that questioning, is the presence of the one who wants to meet us face to face in Jesus. It is the word that is spoken beyond the word that we hear. It is God who speaks quietly in a still small voice in the midst of the busyness of all the things that we seek. It's fascinating to me that in America today, we can choose to seek a spiritual experience even in a car. Lexus worked hard on its statement, the passionate pursuit of perfection. You think that's just about being in a wonderful car with leather seats and well-trimmed? No, they're appealing to your deepest spiritual instincts. If you get in our car, you will know God. And there's something within us that says, if I can just get the best car, I can somehow get to the one who engineers all things well. A spiritual quest a car cannot meet. The passionate pursuit of perfection is only found in the one who is perfect, Jesus Christ. There's always a question that is around the real question. Jesus asked the question of the disciples, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? And of course, the disciples are thinking that they're looking for the Messiah. But they can't come out and say that. It's a moment of kind of common interchange. What are you seeking? Where are you staying, Jesus? Underneath that, Jesus sees between the lines. He knows that they're hungry to experience God, and so He invites them to come and see. It's the goal beyond the goal. It's the prize that is behind the prize. It is the reality that's beneath the surface, the hope behind the happiness, the substance that's below the surface. It is the eternal that's beyond the temporal. It is the God who is the higher power above the addiction. We think that we can find meaning in the things and substances and relationships that we can become obsessed with. But what we're really hungry to know is the God who creates all things. As I often do, let me just take a moment to reflect upon an excerpt of Mendelssohn's Elijah again. You know, great pieces of music and history flow with theology and purpose and meaning. And as the story of Elijah unfolds, he has declared there's not going to be any dew nor rain for 3 years. And there isn't. There's a drought and people are starving. Mendelssohn has the music pour out with the people's hunger for bread and for water. Even the children are starving for a morsel of bread. And you would think that God would hear their cry for water and bread, but the voice of God speaks out in a tenor aria. I've always thought God should be a tenor. The tenor section of the choir agrees with me. The voice cries out and says, "People, rend your hearts and not your garments. Forsake your idols, turn from them, and pay attention to God." God does not respond with water and with bread. He responds with presence. "I'm here." And then the tenor sings, "If with all your heart you truly seek me, you will find me. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come into God's presence." God says, "If with all your heart you truly seek me, you will find me." The response is not, "I'm going to give you bread and water. You are hungering for those things, but underneath the hunger, you're missing the point. You hunger for me. Will you face that?" I had a couple walk into my office about 20 years ago, just off the street. They'd been looking through the Yellow Pages to find a church where they could be married because somehow they thought a church was a good place to get married. Tom and Nancy came and sat down and I said, "What are you looking for?" "So, well, we want a church where we can get married and this seems like a neat church." I said, "You have a church background?" "No, we've never been in a church before. We just heard that it was a good place to get married." I said, "Would you mind if I did the service in the name of Jesus, the Christ?" And they said, "Who's Jesus? We've never heard of him before." I thought, wow, these people are really out of touch. No, the person who was out of touch was me, not knowing that there are literally millions of people out there who still don't know in our culture who Jesus is. We had a conversation about who Jesus is. And lo and behold, they said, "You know, we're wanting to get married, but we didn't realize that we're really wanting to know who God is." They both committed their lives to follow Jesus Christ, to come and see. They didn't have their wedding in the church. They had their wedding out on the slope of Pepperdine University overlooking Malibu and the Pacific Ocean. And often thought that people who go to Malibu and Pacific Ocean have already had heaven. And there they invited all their friends who didn't know Jesus and said, "Will you just tell them the story of Jesus at the wedding?" Several of their friends followed Jesus. We have whole groups of people in our culture who do not know Jesus. They're just waiting for somebody to tell them. God meets us in the common things, the common places, the common moments. When the text says it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I mean, how much more common can you get? It's a common day and people are on their way home and they need a place to stay and eat. And Jesus says, "Come and be with me." In those common interchanges and conversations and questions, Jesus shows up and meets people face to face because they were willing to spend some time and talk and be in God's presence. There's always a question behind the question. "What are you doing tonight?" "Well, I'm not very busy. Why don't you come over?" Underneath that is the spiritual hunger that permeates the conversation. And if we would go there, people would go there with us if we were willing to do it. You see, this moment is the fulfillment of what John said earlier. The Word was made flesh and lived among us. The disciples see that Jesus is flesh and blood, a real person. And He's living in their midst, and they can go and be with Him. They can hang out with Him. They can talk with Him. They can experience Him personally. The Word is there for them to engage and encounter. People are hungry to have a sense of God's presence, person to person and flesh to flesh. A few weeks ago, I had the honor of being with a pastor apostle from Burma, the Burmese tribes in Southeast Asia. He's often imprisoned for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in a Buddhist culture. He says, "That's okay. I don't expect people to embrace me with open arms. But when I have an opportunity, I'm going to tell them about Jesus." When they throw him in prison, they often put him in an 8x10 cell. It's dark, very little light, and they keep them there with about 15 to 20 other men in a highly cloistered environment where all they can do is stand together for sometimes 60 to 120 days. I said, "How can you stand that?" He says, "Oh, it's an honor. Because there in that cell in the darkness, I can tell them about Jesus and they can't go anyplace." So one of the most dramatic things is to be standing for a significant amount of time and you just desire to lay down and get some rest. And in a cell with 15 to 20 men, you can't lay down anyplace and get some rest. So what we'll do is we stand around the walls and we will take turns laying on the floor and getting some hours of sleep on the floor. So that's one of the things I work out with them. I've been here before. I have a plan. And then I tell them how Jesus has come into this life to give them rest and peace. Come and see. A friend of mine plays tennis, and early in his life, he encountered another man who would be his tennis coach, and he would take time after they played tennis together and he did the coaching to sit by the court side and open the Bible together and read it. Today, this young man grew to be a very strong influence of inviting other people to follow Jesus because someone was willing to take time in the tennis court to read the Bible with them. Jesus gives us a simple invitation today. Come and see. What are you looking for? The thing that you are looking for is not the real substance of the thing that you will find if you will come and see. Underneath the objects and the relationships is Jesus, the Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus says later on in John, "Come and abide with me, and I will abide in you. Come and dwell with me, and I will dwell with you. Come and see. Come and live life with me. And when you live life with me, you will see who God really is." When I was in college, I one day saw this gorgeous brunette walking across campus, and I followed. I said, "Where she is, I want to be." It took me at least 3 more weeks before I had the guts to meet her. And when I did, she didn't waste any time. She said, "Come to my home and meet with my mother." I did, and I spent a lot of time with her mother because her mother became the one who showed me Jesus. See, I thought I was looking for a future spouse, but God knew I was looking for Jesus. God uses all things to catch our attention because we have a passionate pursuit and hunger for perfection. Today, when you come with a deep sense of need, you hunger for something that's unresolved in your life, hear the words of Jesus. come and see Jesus. Amen.